Feel like your life's too busy to go back to school? With Miller Mott College's online programs, you decide when and where you learn. Gain invaluable insight from industry-experienced instructors, all while building connections with peers who share your drive for success. Our team is only a call or email away to give you the academic and career support you deserve at every step. Have time for what matters while still reaching your goals. Visit miller-mott.edu. That's miller-mott.edu.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Ladies and gentlemen of America, there is no need to panic. If you are teetering on the edge of the cliff, just step away. Just take a few steps back. There's no need to hit the panic button just yet. And I know that last night was a bit of a shock for a lot of folks. And I get that. I understand that. But it's going to be okay. And yesterday was no doubt an ugly thing that happened in politics, and what are you going to do? It is what it is. But we're going to break all of this down today, and I want to try to give you an idea of what really happened and where we're going here, because there's a lot of doom and there's a lot of gloom. And it's okay. It's okay to feel dejected. It's okay to be concerned, and I think we ought to be concerned. But if any of you have listened to this radio program for the past 6 months, you know that I was warning you about what was going to happen. And really, for the past couple of weeks, we've been warning you and trying to prepare you for what happened yesterday. And those of you who have been longtime listeners, you guys were not terribly shocked or horrified by what happened in this nation. Now, we're gonna discuss some hard truths. I also want to hear from you and hear your take on things. Many of you live in these battleground states where all of these elections happened, and the Republican losses happened. Now, behind closed doors, President Trump is actually telling the Republicans really what happened. He's giving them the what for, if you will, and they need to hear it. But the president needs to hear it as well, because at the end of the day, the administration has been doing a great job in foreign policy, but the reality is we did not elect President Trump for his foreign policy. We elected President Trump because he promised to put America first and to make America great again. And right now we're watching a lot of other countries being made great again. And I'm just telling you that we need to do a better job of making sure, and the White House needs to do a better job of making sure that they are staying focused on what really matters. Now, the president is out there saying, and the entire administration is out there saying, the economy is great. The economy is booming. People have jobs. People have money. And yet, the reality of it is, most of you do not. Most of you are suffering. Many of you have to have a couple of jobs just to make ends meet. And again, my frustration, though, is really not with President Trump. My frustration is with Congress, because they've done nothing. I mean, they have truly done nothing. And I am really concerned because there will be a moment when literally nothing will get done, because everybody's focused on the midterm elections. And Congress is not going to do anything to upset that apple cart. So it very well could be that we go into the midterms and not a single serious piece of legislation, executive order-wise, has been codified by Congress. We could be marching into the midterms under the same budgeting as Joe Biden had. And we haven't cut anything from the budget. The big, beautiful bill actually increases the amount of taxpayer money we're spending on the government. All the DOGE cuts, that was, it was great political theater, I suppose, but those cuts are not permanent. So what about all the people getting laid off? You know, the president was going to go in and completely eliminate departments, you know, lay people off. Has that actually happened? What about the Department of Education? Has the Department of Education been abolished? And let me say something. When you look at what happened last night, especially in New York City, the number of young people, the young people that have been educated in our public schools through critical race theory, through the lens of DEI, those are the people that elected a communist as the next mayor of New York City. So all that to say, the do-nothing Congress, I mean, what have they been doing? The do-nothing Congress is partly responsible for yesterday. The American people are expecting things to happen. Now, let me say this about the economy. I get it. It's going to take a little while for all of this to get worked out. And until that happens, many of us are going to have to pay more for groceries. Many of us are not going to be able to afford a house. Your rent is going to be extraordinary. I get that. But here's where the administration has to step in. And they should have been very clear with people that it's going to take a long time. You know, they're not teaching people economics in schools these days. So the administration needed to do a better job of that. This is an interesting demographics coming out of New York City. It turns out that native New Yorkers, those are people that were born in New York City, native New Yorkers rejected Mamdani, while people living in New York less than 5 years overwhelmingly voted for Mamdani. In other words, the Democrats, the Dems, have literally imported a new demographic of voters. How long have you lived in New York City? Less than 5 years, 85% of those people voted for Mamdani. So there you go. So we've got that going for us. The situation in New York City, it's going to be bad. And I hate to break it to you good people in New York, but you get what you vote for. And I know your choices were not great, but you really picked the wrong guy here. All that to say, there have been surveys saying that as many as 1 million people may be leaving New York City. And just a message, a word to the refugees coming out of New York City. Don't come to Tennessee. We're full. As a matter of fact, I would recommend Nebraska, somewhere out there. But don't bring your liberal politics to the volunteer state, because we got no place for you. And I suspect many of you others feel the same way. I feel bad for Virginia. The Republicans there got crushed. And I know there are some out there, and they're trying to suggest that what happened yesterday is not a big deal for Republicans. It's a big deal. And you have to look at the down ballot races. What is it, 13, 14 Republicans were wiped out of the House of Delegates in Virginia? Not only that, the people of Virginia electing Jay Jones as their attorney general? The Democrats in Virginia apparently have no issue with the fact this guy wanted to go out there and he dreams about killing conservatives, watching their children die. Now, that's insane. It's a little scary, too. Lots of godless, demonic vermin in the Commonwealth. But the Democrats are now officially on the record as saying they support candidates who endorse violence against their opponents. Let that sink in. What does that tell you about the state of affairs in this country? So, look, I appreciate our president flying all over the world and meeting with world leaders. I get all that, and you got to do that. But it seems like that's all we've been doing. The first six, seven months of the presidency, that's all we've been doing. We don't have a lot of time. The clock is ticking. But, Tom, we got 4 years. No, we don't have 4 years. We may just have until the midterms. But, again, you've got to look at all the damn ballot races. Georgia Public Service Commission, I know that's a very obscure race, but that was on the ballot in Georgia yesterday. And for the first time, I think in 25 years, for the first time, Democrats won seats on the Georgia Public Service Commission. 5 seats, all held by Republicans. 2 Democrats just picked up seats. That's strange. You folks in Texas dealing with a lot of these amendments, you folks Republican-led amendments completely failed. And not to mention what happened out in California, where the Republicans completely dropped the ball. And when it came to Prop 50, there was literally no ground game. And that went down in a, it was not even close. It was like 80-some-odd percent of the people. In one county, I was hearing, someone sent me a note yesterday, in Orange County, that area of California, 700,000 Republicans stayed home and did not vote. Folks, if you don't go out and vote, well, that's on you. That's on you. So look, we're going to be taking your calls, your thoughts about what happened yesterday. Do you have concerns? Is this not a big deal? 901-260-5926. Our number, that's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. I've got something very exciting for you, the perfect way to celebrate America's 250th birthday next July 4th. It's called Young Washington, a brand new film from Angel Studios and the Wonder Project. Now, this is not the George Washington on the dollar bill. No, this is the untold story of the young man. At just 20 years old, George Washington faced failure, near-death experiences, and trials that forged the courage and character that would one day win America's independence. Now, this is not a watered-down history lesson. Young Washington is bold, it's authentic, and it's rooted in truth, showing the values and moral backbone that we need to be reminded of today. Directed by John Irwin, starring Andy Serkis, Ben Kingsley, and Kelsey Grammer. This is a big, cinematic, high-quality film that you're going to be proud to watch with your entire family. But here's the deal. Early support determines how many theaters show this film. So when you join the Angel Guild, you help secure more screens. You lock in two free tickets, gain access to Angel's full streaming library, and get exclusive behind-the-scenes updates from the cast and director. So let's make Young Washington the number one movie in America this Independence Day. Go to angel.com/Todd and join today. Well, one of the good stories came out of Texas, where on these propositions, one of them requires, ladies and gentlemen, U.S. citizenship. You got to prove your U.S. citizenship to vote. I like that. I was going to go to Kathy in Texas, but we'll get back to Kathy in just a moment. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to our good friend Josh Jones, who's been following the situation in Virginia. Josh, how do you sum up what happened there in the Commonwealth last night?
Look, I mean, to be clear, it's a rough night for Republicans. Obviously, there's no getting around that. At the end of the day, it's a post-presidential election cycle. And I talked about it yesterday. I know I've mentioned it before. We had the curse of the Potomac in Virginia, but it applies broadly speaking to elections that happen after an election, after a presidential year. Is this was an election that was a backlash against Donald Trump winning the presidential election in 2024. Because if you go back to 2021, Biden had just won the White House, and education was a big issue in Virginia, and Glenn Youngkin used that to ride into the governor's office. And that was a motivator for Republicans to get out and vote, whereas Democrats didn't really have one back in 2021. And now it's the inverse this go-around, where there wasn't a huge motivator driving Republicans to the polls, but Democrats had a motivator named Donald Trump. So I think that's what we saw that played out across the Commonwealth last night.
Yeah, and all the exit polling data in New Jersey, in New Jersey and Virginia, that was the motivating factor. I thought it was interesting where that was not the motivating factor, the top factor in New York City, and we'll get to that in just a minute. But again, I think also you just had some bad candidates, and Winsome Sears had some bad history with President Trump back, years ago. It was just not a good situation for Republicans.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. At the end of the day, the buck stops at the top of the ticket, whether that's in Virginia, New Jersey, or elsewhere. Obviously, everybody on the team has a part to play, whether you're running for statewide or you're in a local county election somewhere. But at the end of the day, it's a trickle-down effect from the top of the ticket. And if the top of the ticket is not performing well, it's hard to overcome that down ballot, unfortunately.
Josh, what happened in the House of Delegates? That seemed to be a bit of a surprise, but Republicans got slaughtered.
Yeah, I think, again, going back to that trickle-down effect, the governor's race really played into, I think, the rest of the elections we saw in Virginia, both Lieutenant Governor and Attorney General. but even into the House of Delegates level, where the spending level by Democrats in the governor's race was absolutely just 10 times that of what Republicans were spending with some fears on advertising across the Commonwealth. I think, you know, a lot of these House of Delegates races also obviously are in those media markets, and that had a trickle-down effect. And to be one, Republicans were also outspent at the House of Delegates level. So it comes back to a numbers game, motivating factors, you know, getting your side out to vote. So it's a, look, it was a rough night for Republicans, but House of Delegates, we'll see where the final numbers land. But yeah, it was not ideal there.
Where do we go from here? Because, you know, there are some of the administration saying, look, these were all blue states. We got nothing to worry about. For me, I'm looking at those down ballot races, and I'm like, I don't know about that.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's truth. You know, the truth is always somewhere in the middle, because that is a great point. Democrats won in blue states. You know, people shouldn't be surprised by that. You had Virginia, New Jersey, and New York, you know, excluding a couple other ballot initiatives or special elections going on. That was the main one. And so Democrats, you know, signaling that this is like an absolute blue wave heading back in the direction of, you know, let's say Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. I don't think that's necessarily what happened last night. I think you have these blue states. You had Democrat voters who, I'll use a different word, who were very upset about the president and wanted to get out. And this was their way of protesting the president, essentially. But to your point, though, Republicans should take note heading into the midterms next year, because if the American people don't feel like their government's working for them, they're not going to elect that same government. So Republicans need to get their eye on the ball, especially in D.C., and start codifying some of these executive orders and really delivering on President Trump's America First agenda, and stop with all this nonsense of, you know, renaming things for the sake of renaming them. People at the end of the day don't care about that. They care about what affects their pocketbook.
You know, it's interesting. Dinesh D'Souza, he's running, or not Dinesh D'Souza, Vivek Ramaswamy, running for governor in Ohio. And he put out a little video last night, and he called out the Republicans who are doing this identity politics and says, we're not going to win elections if we keep driving away minority voters. And my, you know, I'm wondering, when you look at New York City, were there Jews, were there Indians who said, you know what, we're not going to be voting in this election. We're going to sit this one out. I mean, look, at some point, you know, if the woke right, whatever you're going to call them, if they're going to continue this line of attack against Jews, the question is, how much longer are they going to still vote Republican?
Yeah, no, it's an absolute cancer within the Republican Party or on the Republican side of things. It's important to take note of and make sure we push back against that, because at the end of the day, the Republican Party is the big tent party. Contrary to, you know, what people say in the media, or obviously what Democrat operatives would say. So Republicans need to take advantage of that, because President Trump back in 2024 did very well with Latinos, very good with young people, young men in particular. So President Trump proved that, you know, the Republican Party can be a big tent party. You just have to encourage that.
All right, Josh, we're going to let you get back at it. Thanks again for calling in from Jekyll Island, and we'll let you get back to enjoying your little break there.
Thanks, Todd. I appreciate it.
All right, you too now. All right, let's try to work in a call here. Chris from North Carolina. Hi, Chris. What say you?
Hey, how are you doing? Just a quick comment. You know, you have to be – I'm really disappointed in these Republicans that just don't go out and vote in these down ballot elections, and I just don't understand. I really don't understand it. Trump needs help. He can't get it. You know, it's awesome he's in the White House, but he needs help while he's in the White House. And these races, the governor races, the AG races, things like that, can help him. But when we don't go out and vote and we just sit back, oh, well, it won't be all right. It's not going to be okay. This is really, really disappointing to me. And it should be disappointing to, if you call yourself a Republican or a conservative, you should be really upset about this, really upset. Because Democrats are sitting back and they're chomping at the bit for midterms now. They are chomping at the bit, because what they're going to do is they're going to impeach Trump. Plain and simple, he's going to be impeached.
Well, no doubt.
I want to be impeached.
Yeah, Chris, no doubt about that. And that's why we've got to take this seriously. Again, we don't have a lot of time. And we've got to make every single second count. We've got to squeeze every bit of life out of every one of those seconds. And I'm just not seeing that sort of ferocity or commitment coming from the Republicans in Congress. And you're right, Trump cannot do it by himself. All right, 901-260-5926, our number. Chris, thanks for that call. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. MyPillow is excited to announce they're having their biggest 3-in-1 sale ever with a limited edition product, a back-in-stock special, and a closeout deal you won't find anywhere else. MyPillow bed sheets, only $29.88, any color, any style, any size, even kings. Regularly priced at $119.98 and now only $29.88. Once they're gone for good. My towels, finally, back in stock, but not for long. Get a 6-piece My Towel set, normally priced at $69.98, now only $39.98. And for the first and only time, get their limited edition premium MyPillows made with Giza cotton. Queen $17.98, Kings only $19.98. Also for a limited time, when your order is over $100, you'll receive free shipping plus $100 in free digital gifts. So go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS. Use your promo code for the best offers ever. Quantities are extremely limited, so order now. That's promo code STARNS.
So, Donald Trump, since I know you're watching, I have 4 words for you. Turn the volume up. We will hold bad landlords to account because the Donald Trumps of our city have grown far too comfortable taking advantage of their tenants.
All right. You know, one of the interesting things about this, America's mayor is now a Muslim. And on September 11th, 2026, Zohran Mamdani is going to be presiding over the 9/11 memorial service. And I think that's shocking to many, many New Yorkers. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line to say hello to our good friend, national correspondent Robin Poffman. Robin, I know you're chomping at the bit here. What in the world happened in New York City yesterday?
Well, I'm going to first off by saying to you, Todd, that absolutely none of this surprises me. You have what's known here as Pakia that's in play. And for those who are not familiar with that word, that's, I'm going to sum it up, that this is basically the Muslim practice of basically allowing you to lie to get your agenda passed. And we saw this back in 1993 when the World Trade Center was bombed by radical Islamic terrorism, Muslim Brotherhood members that were here in this country lying. Same, you forward up the clock 8 years, 9/11, you have radical Muslims, the same thing, goal to topple the towers because they couldn't accomplish it 8 years prior. They were lying about going to flight schools. Oh, we only want to learn how to fly the plane, not land it. Ding, ding, ding. So Takiya has been in play in this country for a very long time. I am absolutely sick to my stomach the number of Jewish people, New Yorkers, in Brooklyn, in Staten Island, in Queens, in the Bronx, in Manhattan, that voted for this Muslim. I personally, Todd, call these Jewish people Kristallnacht Jews. Kristallnacht, for those that don't know history, is the night of broken glass in Germany. For weeks and months, Nazis, real Nazis, stealing the goods of the Jewish people, ripping the gold out of their mouth, destroying property. And these Jewish people, for arrogance or for whatever naivete that, quote, this can never happen here, well, it happened there and it's happening here. This group of liberal Jews never wakes up until it is too late. And I'm going to share something personal, Todd, with you today, because I am upset. My great-grandparents on my father's side were living in Russia, 1907, 1911. They saw anti-Semitism way before Nazi Germany. This is all documented in the Holocaust Museum, which I know you've been to in Washington, D.C. And they saw the writing on the wall in Russia, in what was known as Minsk, Belarus nowadays. Anti-Semitism, okay? And they saw what was coming, and they came to this country with the clothes on their back and a few items, and they assimilated. They came, they learned English, and they wanted to be Americans. But the radical Muslims who are coming here or who snuck in the last 4 years under the Biden-Obama-Harris administration, that is not their agenda, Todd. That is not their agenda. They are here to create, you know, they took down the World Trade Center, the number one symbol of American might and glory and capitalism, and they want to institute Sharia law and their thing here. And the agenda of that we are teaching our kids in this country from nursery school, the indoctrination, Todd, the indoctrination from nursery school, kindergarten, elementary school, middle school, high school, college, universities, grad school, all of which I've attended, the liberal indoctrination that I personally had to put up with in New Jersey, in Washington, D.C., in New York City, all of my education, the only person in this country who was combating that with young people was Charlie Kirk, and that's why they murdered him. That is the connection of the dots, Todd, of the entire situation of where we are until today, on this morning, of what happened last night in elections in various states in our country. I am absolutely appalled and disgusted.
There is a brand new survey out saying that more than 25% of New Yorkers would consider fleeing the city if Zohran was elected. And now you do wonder, you know, if people are going to pack up and leave. The reality, though, Robin, is that even the New York City that you know and love is not the same place. I think Bill Hemmer did a great job of laying this out on Fox last night. Let's play cut number three.
Back in on Queens. I think Queens is so interesting, Sean. Look at this, just for our viewers at home. Like, no matter where you're watching in America tonight, just stop and think about this for a moment. This is one of five boroughs, okay, in Queens. It's not even the most populated. In this particular borough, maybe you fly in the JFK, maybe you fly in the LaGuardia, population 2.4 million. Foreign-born, 48%. Languages spoken in Queens alone, 160 different languages. When you study New York City, you're studying a country. Sean, you can literally cross the street and you find people with different ethnicity, different religion. They come from different parts of the world, and they certainly vote in very different ways. And you do not have to go far in that neighborhood or on that street to find that.
And Robin, the polling backs that up. According to one of the polls, that a majority of lifelong New Yorkers backed either Cuomo or Sliwa, but non-native voters threw all of their support behind the socialist Muslim. Are you surprised by that?
You know, I'm not. And, you know, Todd, you and I both, you know, worked at Fox News together for so many years, and I'm not surprised by it. But there are issues and there are problems. I mean, do you feel that going to a church or a synagogue, unless you know that there's security outside and inside and people that are armed, do you honestly think that you're safe in that environment? Because personally, I don't. And I will tell you that when I was living in Dallas about 10 to 15 years ago, there was a meeting at somebody's house, a conservative person with a Muslim man who became a Christian. And he was, you know, talking to conservatives in Texas. I don't want to say his name, but he, you know, told us about this taqiya and how the agenda is always in play. And they showed the movie by Curtis Bowers, who was an Idaho legislator who made this movie called, in fact, Agenda. And it was put out in 2010. And I encourage everyone in your audience to watch this because it talks about the whole George Soros agenda and how they got, you know, the Common Core agenda in schools and how 9/11 is not taught in our high school history books. And so, you know, they want to erase history and take down statues. And the agenda is Sharia law. And we see that now in Dearborn, Michigan. Look at the terrorist attack that was broken up by the FBI just the other day, where on Halloween, there were six radical Muslims, including a 16-year-old, and they took their phones and computers, and the FBI in the affidavit said that they were looking to shoot up gay people in gay bars in the Detroit area. So one minute you're being friendly to gay Americans, and then the next minute you're killing them like we saw in Orlando, Florida. So again, this all goes back to the word taqiyya and the ability to kind of hide your agenda all in the name of radical Islam. We need to be extremely careful. Rudy Giuliani, America's mayor, who led us out of 9/11. You were there. I was there. Okay. And when he said New York will be here tomorrow, he has posted online today on all of his social media accounts, you know, we have forgotten, and we have. And the thought of Mondami presiding over a 9/11
right.
ceremony?
Exactly.
You think that's going to happen? You think that's going to happen?
Robin, I want to play this real quick. This is from Van Jones at CNN. And it was really, I mean, you couldn't help but laugh. It was maybe gallows humor here. They were all concerned about how Mr. Smiley, giggly, huggy Muslim guy turns into this angry Muslim guy. Cut number six.
That speech appealed to some, but I think he missed an opportunity. I think the Mamdani that we saw in the campaign trail, who was a lot more calm, who was a lot warmer, who was a lot more embracing, was not present in that speech. And I think that Mamdani is the one you need to hear from tonight. There are a lot of people trying to figure out, can I get on this train with him or not?
No, I think we saw the real Mondami last night, and it's going to be ugly in New York City. And maybe that needs to happen. Maybe we need to see New York City completely come undone so that people can understand, at least this new young generation can understand, that socialism does not work.
You know, Todd, I will tell you this. There's two fronts. I know we have to wrap it up here, but there's the economic piece of this where people want free stuff. My rent is too high and I want it, you know, be in rent control, and I want to get on a free bus, and I want a, you know, free cupcake at the supermarket and all of that, and a free donut. But then there's also the ideological part of it that's behind the economic part. And we have to be very careful. And there are people, young people, especially young women, 20s and 30s, who have been indoctrinated in this.
Yeah.
They want the free stuff. They can't get ahead economically, especially if they're not married or have a partner. And the ideological part of it is huge. I will lastly end on this, that if I were the white female Jewish police commissioner in the city of New York, I would be looking for another job, because I'm going to be very surprised if she stays in that position with him at the helm. That is an appointed position. You serve at the, you know, at the wishes of the mayor. And it's going to be very interesting to me. That's the first litmus test. Does she stay or does she go?
The story of the night, when you mentioned young women, 81% went for Mandami. 80% went for Cheryl in New Jersey. 78% Spanberger in Virginia. That's according to NBC's exit polls. By the way, what happened? I know New Jersey, you're a Jersey girl. What the heck happened there? Everybody thought that was going to be an upset win for the Republicans.
You know what the problem is? And I could probably name you about 50 people I know personally. All the conservatives and center-right people that I know have moved out, and they're all living in either the Carolinas, Georgia, Tennessee, or Florida, or
oh, wow.
Some have gone over to Texas. And or Mississippi. And it's truly interesting, Todd, that if you look at the numbers, even in the last, what has it been since Trump has been in office, people have moved out of New Jersey. They've lost easily about 200,000 to 300,000 people who have left. And so those numbers are really, really off. People are sick of the taxes, sick of the tolls, sick of the weather, and sick of the ideology, and sick of sanctuary city, because crime is up in all the counties where there are sanctuary cities in New Jersey. It's a mess and about to get a lot worse.
All right. Robin, we're going to leave it there. Great analysis, and we will see how it all plays out. I know we'll have you back on very soon. Thanks a lot now.
All right. Love you.
All right. Love you, too. Great lady right there. I'm her favorite Gentile. Let's go to, real quick, Michael in Denver, Colorado. Hi, Michael. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. Thank you for taking my call again. I'm a second-time caller. I'm actually 29 years old. I called you about 4 months ago. It's really
yes.
good to speak with you again. Yeah. So real quick on Mom Dami, Wall Street Journal editorial page today came out with an interesting article. In part, it said, if Democrats can convince voters they're a better bet for getting ahead economically, the GOP is in trouble for 2026. President Trump's tariffs aren't helping matters either. Neither is inflation going away. And the interesting part of this, the potential silver lining for the country in Tuesday's election results is that Democrats can see a model of electoral success that isn't rooted in radicalism. The challenge for Republicans is that Democrats outside New York may be learning from their 2024 defeat. So I think that in a lot of ways, the Democrats have shifted away from, you know, running off the kind of the radical ideas, the identity politics in a way, and they are making strides. Really quick, following up on your NBC News exit poll information, some interesting statistics. Those voters under 30 years old, 78% voted for Mamdani, college graduates, 57%, and renters, 59% of renters voted for Mamdani. And I think the reason that that is so important is because, you know, Cuomo wasn't really able to counter Mamdani's strategy when it came to, you know, affordable housing and laying out practical plans to make housing affordable for young people, for renters, for college graduates. And New York, which is a city that is almost nearly impossible to live in for those demographics. And, you know, I was going to ask, why do you think Cuomo had such a hard time countering Mamdani's ideas on that kind of front?
Honestly, Michael, first, he's loaded. He's got a lot of money, and he actually spent way too much time in the Hamptons, which is where all the rich and famous live, instead of being boots on the ground in working class sections of New York City. I just don't think Cuomo had it in him. I think he got so dejected after losing the Democrat primary. People convinced him to step in thinking that Sliwa was going to back out. And even then, I mean, it would have been a close race. But look, Mamdani got more than 50% of the vote. So it doesn't matter if every single Republican in New York City had voted for Cuomo. It still would not have been enough to overcome the immigrant vote. So it's a mess. Hey, Michael, I've got to run. Thank you for calling in. It's always great to hear from you. And thanks for the great analysis out in Denver. We've got to take a quick break here. You know who we haven't heard from in a long time is our good buddy Connor up in Boston. I hope the libs at Harvard haven't got him. 901-260-5926, our number. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
All right. Hey, we're excited to launch our annual Christmas fund. We have so much fun with this. It's the Affordable Christmas, and we partner with a wonderful church in South Haven, Mississippi, the name of the program is Affordable Christmas. And here's how it works. We ask you to donate money, and then the church takes that money and they purchase brand new Christmas toys. And they create a Christmas, an authentic Christmas store. And so the parents parents who don't have a lot of money and can't afford Christmas, they're selected and they get to go in and they can purchase these brand new toys at a fraction of the cost, just a couple of dollars. And it allows them to maintain the dignity of being able to go in and the joy of being able to go in and afford to purchase their child a Christmas present. And we love doing this. Last year, we raised something like $20,000 for the ministry. And I want you to head over to reachdesotoms.org. That's reachdesotoms.org. And when you call up the website, you'll find the Affordable Christmas. Click on that, and you'll be able to make a donation. Landers Nissan in South Haven, they're going to match every gift up to $7,500. That's pretty awesome. So head over there right now, reachdesotoms.org, and help us out, raise some money for these great, precious children. We'll be right back, everybody. Hang tight if you're on the phones.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
You know, I got a question here about this Zohran Mamdani and his election to New York City. We've had several of our great listeners sending in questions, and these are valid questions. I do not know the answers, but maybe you do. We had one listener didn't want to give their name, but they were wondering if Rosie O'Donnell would have to wear a burqa. So that's we don't know. We don't know the answer to that. Wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing, aesthetically speaking, of course. But we will check and see if the women of New York City will need to be wearing burqas in the coming days. Also, someone asked, because Zohran Mamdani, you know, he likes to eat the hummus or whatever he was eating with his fingers. Did you see that, Dylan? It was a little disgusting.
Yeah, a little unsanitary.
What was unsanitary? He was eating a meal on the subway.
Mm.
Nobody, who does that?
Wow.
Oh, those subways are disgusting. You don't even want to sit on the seats.
Yeah, no, I had one experience.
And there he is putting a street meat right there on. That's what we used to call it, by the way. Street meat. Yeah. Mm. Oh, so nasty.
We're doing away with silverware. Is this what's going to happen?
Apparently so. So I guess Gracie Mansion, they're going to be serving a lot of finger foods. I guess. I don't know. But I'm sure a lot of people have questions. And maybe Zohran will be able to help us out here. We'll let you know. By the way, it's interesting because he thanked a lot of people for his election yesterday. Zohramadan, that's what we're going to try to start calling the guy, Zohramadan. He thanked a lot of people yesterday. Take a listen.
Thank you to those so often forgotten by the politics of our city who made this movement their own. I speak of Yemeni bodega owners and Mexican abuelas. Senegalese taxi drivers and Uzbek nurses. Trinidadian line cooks and Ethiopian aunties. Yes, aunties. To every New Yorker in Kensington and Midwood and Hunts Point.
Oh, boy. You know, it may have just been an oversight. Dylan, did you hear him say anything about the Irish firefighters or the Italian cops?
Wow. They forgot. He forgot.
I think they forgot. The German Jägermeisters, I don't think they got mentioned.
Maybe he was just hungry.
They didn't get a shout out either. I think all of Western Europe was not included in the thank you list. It's shocking. I'm still stunned by this number out of Queens, New York. 2.4 million people, 48% are foreign-born, over 160 languages are spoken. That's just insane. Just insane. Let's go to the phone lines here. We've had a lot of folks holding on over the break, and we certainly appreciate that. By the way, welcome to Hour 2 of the Todd Starnes Radio Program. What an honor that you have chosen to hang out with us today. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. Let's go to Jerry in Jackson, Tennessee. Hi, Jerry. What's on your mind today?
Well, hi there, Todd. Thank you for taking my call.
Glad to do it, Jerry.
Okay. I got a couple of radical things, I think, because the Mondami taking over New York is not just the a small thing. It's huge as far as freedom and what's going to happen to the United States. We're already being invaded by Muslims, and this is just going to start a even bigger wave of Muslims coming into the United States. And we can't keep doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over again, letting this kind of stuff happen. And I have several ideas, but just two real radical ones that need to sort of start right now. And if I were President Trump, I would take the military, all the military that's in New York, and sort of set them up around the harbors and airports and stuff like that, because there's going to be an influx of Muslims and possibly weapons coming in all these boxes and stuff coming across from the other country. And the second thing is Democrats get all the ability to communicate between themselves and set up, their demonstrations and their radical agendas and things like that. And if we don't do something along the line of arming, or not arming ourselves, but taking the 40 million people that are already armed in the United States and sort of organize them and give them a way to communicate with each other and set up sort of a Minuteman concept and get ready to protect ourselves, because I really think from what happened in Germany, we're definitely headed that way. And I thank you for listening to me, and I'd like to hear what you got to say.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, Jerry, and I did. I wanted you to be able to complete your thought there, and that's why I didn't interrupt. Look, I think that it is incumbent, and I know this is going to sound weird to a lot of our evangelical friends, but I think it's important for the Christians and the Jews and the gays and the lesbians. Everybody needs to pay very close attention to what's happening in this country, because if the Islamist eventually gain control, enough control in the right areas. And let me tell you something, Jerry, that is the most disturbing part of the election in New York City, is the power that Mandami is going to wield. They're coming after the Jews and the Christians and the gays and the lesbians. Honestly, I'm not sure who they hate the most, but they're coming after all of us. And so everybody needs to step back here and realize what's coming down the pike, because divided, we will lose that fight. And this is going to be something that will really test the very foundations of the nation. And I say that because the Islamic faith is completely incompatible with Western civilization. It's not going to work. So our Constitution, our way of life, is based on Judeo-Christian teachings. And if you take that out, then you've got big problems in this country. So I do think that we need to be prepared. I don't think we need to be freaking out about it, but we just need to be prepared, Jerry.
I agree. I think it's one of those things where, you know, we've got to start thinking this way. We've got to start thinking that it's not going to be like it was even 5 years ago.
Well, let me ask you a question. Jerry, let me ask you a question here. All right, what do you think would happen in this country? And because this is happening on a very regular basis across to Christians in the Middle East and in other areas of the world, where the Muslims are coming in, the Islamists, and they're blowing up these churches, they're opening fire, they're slaughtering Christians in their churches. How long before you think that's going to start happening here in this country?
Well, I think it's just around the corner. I think as soon as New York is taken over, it'll start spreading, and already we're hearing from Democrats that violence is okay with them. So that's sort of a precursor saying, hey, we're going to start doing whatever it takes to take over.
Yeah, exactly. Jerry, good thoughts, and I appreciate you listening to us. Thank you for calling in today. Let's go to New Orleans. Miss Janice, I was just thinking about you the other day. Hope you're doing well, Miss Janice.
Yeah, I'm hanging in, Todd. I check you out lots of times on your podcast and everything.
Well, I like being checked out on my podcast.
Yeah, I'm glad you have it. It's really, really good.
Well, thank you very much. Miss Janice, what do you make about what happened yesterday?
I don't like it. I had read, now I don't know how true this is or not, but I mean, I had read the other night that a lot of people are going to be starting to leave New York.
About a million is what they're saying.
Yeah, that's what I had seen in an article I read last night. Yeah, I have an app on my phone. And I recommend this app to everyone in the whole world. It's great. They have all kinds of news stuff, political stuff, all kinds of stuff on it. You can get local news.
Oh, what's it called?
It's called News Break.
Oh, yes.
N-E-W-S-B-R-E-A-K, News Break.
It's a fine app.
Yeah, it's wonderful. It's got all kinds of stuff. You can choose, you know, anything you want to read and set it up. And it's just a whole bunch of wonderful stuff on there, and I love it. And I really, I like you too, Todd. And listen, I'll never forget you. I'll never forget you. And no, I'm up a little earlier today than usual. What it is that some days it's just hard for me to get up.
Well, I understand. Yeah, some days it's hard for me to get up.
I do, you know?
Yeah. No, I hear you. I hear you. Well, look, it's always fun when you call, and we always enjoy hearing your voice. I know so many of our listeners around the nation love hearing when you call the show.
That's so nice, but I just don't know what's going to happen with this Mamdani guy. I don't know what he's got in mind exactly. I don't know what his real plans are. It just doesn't sound all that good to me at all, really doesn't.
Isn't it strange you have a guy, he's barely been in the country for any amount of time. He's never held a job. He's just really come out of nowhere, like Barack Obama. And now Obama is reportedly giving him guidance and advice. I have a bad feeling about all of this. And I think there's more to this Mamdani story than we know right now. And especially with the photo surfacing of George Soros's son, they seem to be palling around together. And wherever the Soroses are, normally bad things happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's really terrible. All we can do, we need to pray.
Yes, I completely agree, Miss Janice. I completely agree. Now, tell me, are you getting ready for the holidays there in the Big Easy in New Orleans?
Well, I'm not. No, I'm not. I don't really. I mean, I fix my dinner. You know, I'm going to have. You know what I get that I like? I don't cook big turkey and stuff. I get the Hormel Complete. It's Hormel Complete turkey and dressing, and then I make my own dressing on the side, stovetop, and I have that because I want some extra dressing, and then I fix. I open my. My carrots, can of carrots, and my sweet potatoes, and it works out really well though for me. That's what I always did with my husband. It was just a good way to do it. Just pop it in the heat stuff in the microwave, and it was just an easy way to do it. But it was nice.
Well, that nothing wrong with easy, Miss Janice. Always good hearing from you. You take care of yourself.
I'm in the Big Easy.
You are. You're in the Big Easy, so it's got to be easy.
I got to take it easy in the Big Easy, yeah.
Okay. We need a T-shirt, a bumper sticker. All right, take care, Miss Janice.
You too.
Great lady right there. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. You know, Dylan, I feel really bad. I was finally got around to unloading the back of the Cadillac after that trip to a College of the Ozarks.
Yes.
You know, that's Hard Work University. Mm-hmm. And the kids, they make all these foods like preserves, like peanut butter, and they got the jams.
You were unloading groceries.
Yes. And and I forgot that I had purchased all of this. They have a grist mill, so you can go and watch the grits, the corn being ground.
Wow.
And the flour, the whole nine yards. And so I'm like, give me a couple of sacks of that. I must have like 10 pounds of flour and cornmeal. In the Cadillac.
So you're cooking for Thanksgiving is what
I'm
doing.
Yeah, I'm going to be making some cornbread dressing.
Let's do it.
Hey, yeah. Now.
Sounds great.
I make some pretty good dressing.
Yeah.
All right, we got to take a break here, everybody. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. All right, just a reminder, we are launching today our affordable Christmas campaign, and this is a really special time for all of us. We had such a great time raising money for these wonderful, wonderful families and last year, and we're doing it again this year, hoping to raise, what, $20,000. That's sort of our goal, $20,000. And here's the deal. Affordable Christmas, it's more than just a toy drive. This is an opportunity to restore dignity and hope to families in need. And so what we do is we invite low-income parents to come and shop for brand-new, deeply discounted Christmas gifts for their kids. And it's really a beautiful, beautiful thing. So all we're asking of you is to make a donation. And today, I believe all this week, $7,500, our friends at Landers Nissan in South Haven, Mississippi, Landers Nissan, they're going to match every gift up to $7,500. So we'd love for you to go to the website, KWAM Radio, kwamradio.com. That's kwamradio.com. And you'll see the link there. You can give online, or if you are listening to us in the North Mississippi area, you can drive by Landers Nissan today, and there's a chance for you to win a $250 gift card to the Mesquite Chop House, which is a pretty great restaurant. I love that place, owned by our great friend Jim Lasampio, one of the best, one of the best restaurateurs in America. So again, kwamradio.com if you would like to make a donation, and you can do that online. All right, let's go to Memphis, Tennessee. Marlon is listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Marlon. What's on your mind today?
Hey, I say let's give them a chance and stop the fear-mongering. Our churches have been attacked for the last, ever since this country has been started. Christianity has been under attack.
But what's the fear-mongering, Marlon?
Talking about the bombings of churches and things like that, they're monsters. But when the bombings of churches happened all throughout our history in Alabama, which were Christians, there were sick people. But no, it's fear-mongering. It's nothing but fear-mongering.
Well, let me ask you, Marlon, is something beeping there in your car?
I apologize. I went to bag up, and that's a warning. And hey, don't bag up.
No. Look, I've got this. Mine doesn't do that. It just starts to shake violently, and it scares the living daylights out of me every time it happens. So I get it. I think a lot of people, and a lot of Jewish people especially, are unnerved because of the associations this guy has with known co-conspirators, unindicted conspirators to terrorism. And I think if you're in New York City, that is an especially hot-button issue with what happened on 9/11.
I understand that, but a lot of Jewish folks voted for him.
Yeah, they did. I don't get that one. But yeah, you're right about that. They certainly did. Look, here's the deal. We've seen this work. We've seen this play before. Socialism doesn't work. And honestly, Zohran Mamdani's election is going to be a gift to Republicans because that city is going to implode. And the reason why, Marlon, he wants to raise taxes to accomplish all of this, but he has to get permission from the governor, and the governor's not going to do that. So I don't know how he's going to fund all of this free stuff.
Exactly. That's why I say just let's see what his real plans are, because everyone runs off one thing and does another. And I believe in it. Like I told your screener, if everyone who's threatening to move from New York move, prices will go down.
Well, we'll see how that plays out. My concern is they bring their politics down to Tennessee. You're more than welcome to come here, but you got to leave your politics behind. Marlon, I am late for a break, my friend, but thank you for calling in. Thank you for listening to KWAM. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. By the way, not looking good for Republican lawmakers in California. We'll tell you all about that. And we'll also take a look at these propositions, these props that Texas voted on yesterday. All right, we'll be right back, everybody. All right, this story from the world of Twitch. I never have really gotten into Twitch. Is that sort of like Twitter?
It's like a streaming.
Okay.
Mostly on games.
There's a gentleman on Twitch who goes by the name Fatty McFatfa. Are you familiar with this guy, Dylan?
I don't know his game.
Well, he's a big fella, and he was taking an Uber. You know, I'll be doing the Uber. I've got to be out the rest of the week. I'm actually the master of ceremonies at the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. So heading to Florida for that. So I'll be taking the Uber. It's a lot easier. You know, I do like to drive, but when I'm in another city, and especially Florida, every other street you got to pay some sort of a toll fee. I don't get that. The toll roads, they kill you over there. Anyway, I'm digressing. So this guy named Fatty McFatfa, and I guess we're just going to call him Fatty McFat. How about that? So Fatty McFat took an Uber, was getting into an Uber, and the Uber driver said, "I'm sorry, but you're too fat for my vehicle." And the guy took great offense at this. He's one of these streamers on Twitch, and he actually took out his phone and started filming the female driver. And he said, "I'm going to record you. You just said I'm too large for your car." And she said, "This is a matter of logic and rationale, and I have a right to say that." She doubled down and said, "It's her car, and she gets to decide." You know, that is tough. I mean, if you've got like a, oh, who was it?
It was Dank DeMoss.
Yeah, was that the one?
Dank DeMoss. Yeah, I was going to say we've heard this story before. This has happened.
She's a big gal.
Yeah. I wonder the comparisons. Is it the same situation?
No, he's not as large as she is.
Okay. What's the car? Is it a sedan? Probably.
It looks like a smaller vehicle, so I could understand why he could not fit in there.
Right.
And anyway, it got so bad, so finally the driver said, "Okay, you want me to pull my gun on you?"
Wow.
Typically, if you're going to do that, you don't announce it ahead of time. Because if you're asking me that question, I would be like, "No, not really. I thank you for asking, but I'd rather you not pull your weapon out." So then the guy got out of the car and he shut the door. Well, it turns out, you know, he's got, Call of Duty is the game that he plays.
Yeah.
And I would say it's really funny. He's got a big body, but his legs are like peg legs, like pirate peg legs. And he wears the cargo shorts. Not a good look, but whatever, you know.
Should have just ordered an Uber XL. That would fix all your problems.
There you go. Well, Uber said that the driver was in the wrong, and they have removed her access to their platform. They said everybody deserves to feel welcome, safe, and respected when using the Uber app. And their community guidelines strictly prohibit discriminatory behavior. I guess that's because of Dank, right? So here you go. According to the policy, I'm reading this here. It says nothing about girth. I mean, you can't prohibit somebody from coming in because of gender identity, marital status, national origin, religion, geographical location, or any other characteristic protected under relevant law. Well, maybe that's it. Maybe that's it. Michael's plight elicited vitriol from commentators. One troll writing, "You, this is your sign to lose weight." Another said, "Just get McDonald's delivered instead of Ubering there. It's much easier." You know, that does sort of defeat the purpose, does it not?
I mean, it's Uber either way.
It's true.
Maybe, well, he can't lose weight because he would have to change his name. He can't be Fatty Fatso or anymore or whatever.
Oh, there we go. It's, yeah, DeMoss, 500-pound rapper. Woo!
Yeah.
And it was, so she sued, it was Lyft.
Yeah. Kind of the same, yeah.
I wrote a column about that called Unliftable, and it got me in a little trouble.
It's good trouble.
So the driver of the Lyft car said, "Hey, look, this is in all seriousness, this gal is so big that it was going to hurt. It was going to literally hurt his vehicle." And he told the rapper that his tires could not support her weight, and he urged her to order a Lyft XL. And he wasn't being mean about it either. He was being very polite And he was like, ma'am, you know, I don't want you to blow out my tires.
These people's cars are like their job. So, I mean, you have to take care of your, you have to take care of your car. If someone's like destroying, I mean, you get fined or you get a bad review if you like destroy the car messy wise. So this should apply to that.
You know, what's worse is when they're eating the Flamin' Hot Cheetos or something in the back and they get the dust. Man, you can't get that out of your vehicle.
The dust stays. Mm-hmm. Yeah, unfortunately.
Wow. Interesting. All right. So all that to say, you know, if you're going to, if you're of a certain girth and you're taking an Uber, get yourself a big old jar of Crisco. And if you get stuck in the back seat, you can always just, you know, smear some on the love handles and you'll ploop right out of there. This story from Tennessee, Shelbyville, Tennessee. A student disciplined after allegedly dressing up as a KKK member on Halloween. I shouldn't laugh, but it's sort of funny. So anyway, the kid dressed up as a Klans member. This was in Bedford County Schools. The student was partially dressed as a member of the Klan and told the teacher they were actually dressed as a priest. Really? Do priests wear the white? Do they? But they don't wear the pointy hats. Anyway, the student was sent home after a parent was contacted, and this was not good. They're like punishing the kid, and they're saying that his costume was unacceptable, and the administration is handling this with great seriousness. Is it that bad of a deal? I mean, seriously. I mean, they're treating this kid as if he's committed a hate crime. The district releasing a statement, Bedford County Schools rejects racism and hate in all forms. What if, and I'm just throwing this out there, what if he was the Pope? Because the Pope does wear, like, you know, the white, and the Pope, does have like a pointy sort of hat, right?
These are some accusations.
I mean, I'm Baptist. That's, you know, so what do I know?
Right.
I'm a Protestant.
So he was just missing the headwear.
Maybe he should have had a cross around him or something.
Well, you know, I don't know.
Was he burning the cross?
Right.
Maybe that was it.
Yeah.
Anyway, Bedford County Schools says they reject racism and hate in all forms. We're proud to serve a diverse student population representing many cultures, all of which we honor and respect. Our commitment is to foster an inclusive and respectful environment, and this is the standard we expect from both our students and staff. What if he was Casper the Friendly Ghost? Oh, my gosh. They're really serious about this, the school. So I don't know if the poor kid's going to be charged or not. But, you know, it's interesting because there was a group of teachers out in, I believe, Arizona. And they were all there. There were these math teachers, and they took a big Halloween picture together, and all of them were wearing these T-shirts that said problem solved. And the right side of their T-shirts were covered in blood. And a lot of people were like, wait a second, you guys are mocking Charlie Kirk. And they got all sorts of death threats. Well, this is in Tucson. I mean, people, they went viral. They outed all the teachers, the entire math department. So these are a lot of like math nerds. And they were accused of mocking Charlie because Charlie was shot on that side and, of course, the blood on the T-shirt. Well, it turns out this is terrible. Dylan, these people are facing, I mean, they want them fired. TPUSA attacked them and said this is unacceptable. As a matter of fact, Andrew Colvett from TPUSA said, concerned parents sent us this image of what's believed to be teachers in Vail schools in Tucson mocking Charlie's murder with costumes that read problem solved and blood down the left side of their shirts. They deserve to be famous and fired. And I'm like, oh my gosh. But it turns out that it wasn't true. It turns out that the T-shirts were worn by the teachers in 2024. So it had nothing to do with Charlie Kirk. And the school having to send an email, but nobody's buying it. And now they're saying that the photographs from 2024 are actually AI generated. You can't go back. You can't. This is too much for me.
What is the world we live in? The internet man.
Yes, Superman stopped the axis, the rotation of the Earth, and went back in time.
That's what happened. Don't know what to tell you.
They've had to increase police presence at the school.
Oh, my God.
It's not good. They got thousands of threats. It's just unbelievable. And I feel bad for them. And look, I mean, if I'm the teachers, I'm suing somebody. But this had nothing to do with Charlie Kirk. And this is insane. But this is where we are right now. And you got to be very careful, folks, when you're sharing stuff on social media. You just don't know, you know, what the context of it all is. The school says the shirts were never intended to target any person, event, or a political issue. And again, the Halloween costumes were meant to represent solving tough math problems. I still don't understand the blood part of it, but okay. Again, they have photos showing them all wearing the same shirts last year, so clearly it was had nothing to do with Charlie Kirk. For that matter, this is sort of funny. So Clay Travis and his wife, they were posting a photo together outside their beautiful mansion in Nashville, and his wife was wearing a shirt, Dylan, wearing a shirt that was covered in blood on the right side, and people were weighing in saying, what sort of message are you trying to send?
Only on the left side from now on, folks.
Yeah, yeah.
Going to get accusations.
Wow. Mm. All right, we got to take a break. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Don't forget, tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern, the Todd Starnes Show on Newsmax, and millions are now watching Newsmax on cable, our streaming channel, Newsmax 2. And they're downloading our free Newsmax app on smartphones and TVs. Reuters Institute says we're one of the top news brands in the nation now, and we have great shows every night. Rob Schmidt, Rob Finnerty, Carl Higbee, and yours truly. So find out why Newsmax is the fastest-growing news channel in America. Find out why President Trump loves Newsmax, and you can join our news revolution. Go to, again, Newsmax on cable streaming, or you can download the free Newsmax app today. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's say hello to Carrie in Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Carrie. What's on your mind?
Oh, well, I got a comment about the elections last night, and that is that, you know, whether it changes the outcome of the election or not, I want an audit. I want to see how many illegal immigrants cast one or more votes.
Well, you know, it would have to, I mean, it would be a lot. It would have to take a lot to be able to change the outcome. I mean, the margin of victory was so great, Kerry. I mean, I don't think anybody on the, even on the Republican side, is saying that the election was stolen.
Yeah. Well, even if it don't change the outcome, I would still like to know how many.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if there were a good many. There were, I don't believe that you, in some instances, you did not have to show an ID to vote in New York City. So it's possible you had some folks, but I'm not sure they were voting at the numbers that would have, you know, resulted in, you know, this, the election being thrown out.
And my other comment is on the Uber driver. The lady?
Yeah.
I suspect that what actually got her thrown off the platform was she mentioned a gun.
Oh.
Uber and Lyft are both known to be very anti-gun.
Well, that could be. I will say in Memphis, there's no way any Uber driver in Memphis is driving without packing. Gary, thank you for the call. That's a good thought. Let's go to Kentucky. Pastor John, hey, Pastor, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd. That one caller, a couple calls back, talked about fear-mongering. Obviously, I'm saying this respectfully, he didn't go back and hear what Mamdani said prior to him becoming the mayor of New York. And that's not fear-mongering. What you're dealing is with the facts, and the parents that raised him are basically just the same as far as anti-Semitic goes, as far as being talking about a worldwide intifada. And also, here's another fact, Todd. I looked it up, and I'm sure you can verify. The commissioner of the FDNY has resigned because he's Jewish. Also, I believe I got it from the Daily Wire that right now the police union down in Texas is recruiting, because I know that these police officers are going to be very frustrated. And the idea, and then also I was informed, you can look it up again, that the New York Stock Exchange has set up satellite offices down in Texas and the NASDAQ as well. So here's the fact, that if people listen and study the fact, Mom Donnie is not a good person. He doesn't like the American people. And my concern is, what's he going to do with the 9/11 memorial? So, Todd, that's all I wanted to point out. The facts about, it's not fear-mongering, it's truth. And if people can't see the truth, you get what you vote for. And I'll hang up and listen for your commentary, Todd. Love you, brother.
All right, God bless. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. And, yeah, this is accurate. The FDNY commissioner, that would be Robert Tucker, about 14 minutes ago, announced that he is resigning. He is the fire commissioner. And he's also Jewish, and he was appointed a commissioner back in 2024. But again, based on what's happening there in New York City, the Jewish fire commissioner thought it best to maybe call it a day. And look, I would not be surprised if you see lots of businesses packing up and heading out of New York City. And hear me on this. Most of them are probably, maybe they're going to go across the river to New Jersey, but I don't think so. That may have been the case if Jack Cittarelli would have won in New Jersey. But I think you're going to see these businesses moving to places like Charlotte, moving to places like Dallas or Houston, somewhere in Texas, where they're going to be able to get a fresh start, and they're going to be able to get relief from these taxes, which are going to be insane. And again, I mentioned this with our caller. So Mandami is on the record as saying, look, all of this is going to be paid for by raising taxes on the 1%. But he doesn't have the power to do that. That has to be done through the governor and the assembly there in New York State, in Albany. So, and the governor is not inclined to go after and tax the wealthy, because it's not going to stop there. That's still not going to be enough money to fund all the free stuff that he wants to give all these New Yorkers and all these immigrants. So when that happens, it'll be fascinating to see how quickly these people turn on this guy. And again, he's not a happy-go-lucky fella. We got to see the real Zohran Mamdani last night during that victory address. All right, got to take a quick break here, folks. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. Hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Are you feeling okay, everybody? Are you feeling good? I don't want people to panic here. I know there are a lot of folks that are very upset about what happened yesterday. And no doubt it was a bad, bad day for Republicans. But I am still hopeful that we're going to get our footing and get back on the right track. Now, President Trump is blaming all of this on the filibuster, and he's calling on the Republicans to take action right now to do away with the filibuster, cut number 8.
It's time for Republicans to do what they have to do, and that's terminate the filibuster. It's the only way you can do it. And if you don't terminate the filibuster, you'll be in bad shape. We won't pass any legislation. There'll be no legislation passed for 3 1/4. We have 3 1/4 years, so it's a long time.
Well, it is a long time, and the president does have a lot that he wants to get done. The question is, and the Republicans are pushing back hard, which is why they haven't done it. They don't have the votes yet. But should the Republicans abolish the filibuster to get President Trump's agenda pushed through? Trump's saying, this is the holdup. We got to get rid of it. What say you? 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I want to go to Clear Lake City, Texas. Mike is on the line, has a question about the mayor's race in New York City. Hey, Mike, what's going on?
Oh, hello, hello. Say, I got a question for you. I got a couple of thoughts on that, but I had a question for you. I'm trying to get my mind wrapped around this. Sliwa, the Republican, should have dropped out because he took votes away from the independent Cuomo. But yet when Ross Perot ran for president as an independent, he took votes away from Bush, the Republican. Explain that to me.
Well, it's, I mean, look, Ross Perot, and this was back in 1992, and Ross Perot was a great businessman. I guess he had a lot in common with Donald Trump to some extent, but he was really a button-down kind of a guy. And he actually ran, I think, the most successful independent party campaign in modern American history. And if he would have kept it all together, Mike, I think Ross Perot could have won because people were so fed up with both political parties. But that's not what was going on in New York City. Cuomo was just running to run, and he had to run as an independent, which is why he, you know, did what he did. The reality is that people hate Cuomo. I mean, he's just really, the whole family is despised. And yeah, he got a lot of votes, but the reality is that Sliwa was just simply not qualified at the end of the day.
Well, I agree with you but the fact remains, Mondami got the Democrat nomination. Sliwa got the Republican nomination.
Yeah.
The way I see it, Cuomo and Mae Adams should have never been in the race to begin with.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And, you know, I made that argument a few days ago because people were, you know, the Republican, big dollar Republicans were pushing Sliwa to get out of the race, and they were offering him a lot of money. I mean, some of them were downright bribes. And I said, well, wait a second. Sliwa won his nomination. He won his right to be in the race. Cuomo, if you're going to talk about being the spoiler, Cuomo would have been the spoiler. But let me say this, Mike, even if Cuomo had gotten all of those votes, it still would not have been enough to win.
Well, he wouldn't have been a very good mayor anyway, like you say. You got too much baggage and so forth. But I think President Trump, back in the 90s, watched Ross Perot's success, and that's when the light bulb went off. I think he picked up on what Ross Perot, like you say, could have done if he would have been sincere and genuine and really followed through.
Well, he was a little slap crazy, wasn't he, Mike?
Yeah, he was a little bit out there. He was a little bit out there.
He had, have you listened to Mark Levin at all on the radio?
Oh, yeah.
It was basically Mark Levin's voice with a Texas twang, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, even though he's a fellow Texan, you know, rest his soul, yeah, he was a little bit out there.
Oh, look, I loved Ross Perot. He was a lot of fun, and he attracted a lot of young people, you know, to his campaign. They were all, the only reason Ross Perot jumped in was because H.W. Bush betrayed the American people. Remember the Read My Lips, No New Taxes?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it had something to do with Perot funding some kind of military incursion during that time. But they all they wanted was his money and didn't want him involved in any of the decision-making. But with that said, 85% of the people that voted for Mondami have been in New York City less than 5 years. And when did the illegal alien invasion start?
That's it. I think the argument could be made that this is all a big setup. Oh, by the way, and let me tell you this, and Mike, God bless you. Thank you for calling in. The Republican leadership, you got Schumer and you've got Dollar Store Obama. They are now demanding a meeting with President Trump so they can reopen the government. You think that's really just a coincidence the day after the elections? This was all a setup from day one, all a setup. By the way, that rescue mission that Mike was talking about, this happened back in the 1970s when Ross Perot at the time was hired by the Shah of Iran to go in and install modern healthcare programs and computer systems. And that was Perot's business. And during, 1978? You had all the violent protests, and Perot started evacuating. He had about 130 employees and their families, and so they brought them all back. Two of them ended up being held hostage, and so Perot decided to get them back. And he put together a military team to go out there and to bring his guys back home. So Ross Perot, there was actually a book written about it, I believe, called On Wings of Eagles. And the author, Ken Follett, it's a great read. Perot said, Follett said, if the rescue had not worked, I would have been portrayed as an idiot for having tried it, irresponsible, or having gotten some of our people killed. I would have been in prison, and you sure as hell wouldn't be giving me a award. So that's, oh, wow, what a great guy. Ross Perot, he was, a man's man, a true Texan. There you go. All right, let's go to Justin in Collierville, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Hey, Justin, what's going on?
Hey, Todd. So I just wanted to comment on two things. The elections last night and the filibuster, and I believe the two things are tied in together. So I think they need to nuke the filibuster, and this is why. Because if they don't go through with Trump's agenda and with while the Republicans have the majority, it's never going to happen. I think last night was an indicator of the kind of Democrat candidates that you're going to get. Also, I think it's an indicator the Republican turnout that you're going to have in other states across America when Trump isn't on the ballot. Because if they sit around and wait until 2026 elections to get the things we need to get done, you're going to have a lot more radical Democrat party that's going to be in place, that's going to have a lot more radical candidates that have a chance to get in office. So this is what the Republicans always do. We get a majority, and they sit, and they don't do nothing. They don't do anything, and they don't go through with their... And typically, if we don't have Republicans that will lead with action, the base stays at home.
Justin, do you think that's what happened yesterday? Because it wasn't just New Jersey and Virginia. I mean, we're talking about every race around the country. Republicans, in most instances, had a really hard time either winning or that is flat out lost.
Well, I also think, so here's something that good that Charlie Kirk did, that Trump did, is, and nobody wants to talk about this because they're scared of being called racist, is you have to motivate the young male white voter and talk to issues that resonate with them. And Republicans are so afraid of being called racist. But, you know, that's your largest demographic that sent Trump to the White House was young male white voters. And we have to start talking. The Democrats pander to every single group. So why can't we pander to that group and talk to things that matter to them? So if there's always going to be apolitical and not talk about the issues, as far as the, you know, demographics that's going to help the Republican Party win, they're going to keep losing.
No, I do not disagree with you at all there. And I think there is a lot of frustration. I think we have seen that this administration, really for the first 6 or 7 months, has been so focused on foreign policy. I think they need to be parking Air Force One and sticking around the continental U.S. and dealing with the problems at hand. And, Justin, I think they've got to do a better job of communicating with younger, those millennial voters and Gen Z voters who are just struggling right now financially. Many of them even already have full-time jobs, but they're not able, you know, to put that down payment on a house. They're not able to buy that car used, new, or whatever. And I think a lot of people in that age demographic are really frustrated right now.
Yeah, and so I think this all goes back to, you know, the more radical Muslim that you're getting in this country, like Madami, is because we don't have an immigration system that is vetting and keeping the people out that want to destroy America. And so for the economy, job market, you think about, and I'm going back to the young white male, the blue collar jobs of constructions are gone because it's the illegal immigration. And now they're replacing everybody that's in the, specialized trade, the high-paying jobs with H-1B1 visas, and the White House is not addressing those issues. So why would I want to show up and vote for a Republican again if they're not doing anything to fix the economy, which is immigration?
So now you have, though, you've got Dinesh D'Souza and Vivek Ramaswamy. And Ramaswamy put out a video statement last night saying he was calling out identity politics, and D'Souza is as well. Of course, both Indian Americans. The problem I have is, why are we bringing over so many Indian Americans to take jobs that Americans currently have and Americans are doing a fine job at?
Yeah, well, why are we dissipating? So how are we going to tell? So this is what I felt. When I watched the J.D. Vance and you started getting a lot of questions, like Ole Miss is the most conservative place that I think campus you'll find in America, and kind of a litmus test. And you had one after the other, the white male, young white male was getting up and basically telling us the problems. So why would not address the issues to the base of our party, what they're dealing with? Because here's what's going to happen in 2026, and it may even happen with 2028. If we fail on our promises right now, they're going to sit at home, they're not going to vote, and then you're going to get some radical Democrat, like maybe if it's in a Badami as a president, or maybe it's even you're going to get a Justin Pearson for Congress, but you're going to keep getting those radical Democrats because they're just sick and tired of it. They are not going to vote for Republicans that are not cashing in promises. And, you know, as far as identity politics, I don't like it because I'm a Christian and I believe everybody has the image of God. But these different – I think you have to look at it, these different communities that are impacted across the United States economically, you have to address those issues.
No, you're right. And the good news is Mamdani was not born on American soil, so he is not qualified to be president of the United States. But there are plenty of other radicals who are. I think Gavin Newsom really thinks he's got a shot. And, you know, the frightening thing here is you're going to have some good people. I know Kevin Kiley, Daryl Issa, among others, that will lose their congressional seats as a result of what they're about to do. And I'm concerned that other Republican states will not follow through and do away with their Democrat districts, you know, as punishment for that. We will see. But again, those congressional seats in California are going away.
Well, we need to follow suit. So there's a big ruling in the Supreme Court that basically says you can redraw congressional state house lines based on race. So as far as gerrymandering on race, I think that's going to eventually go away. But on Republicans, we need to act, especially like states like Tennessee. We need to do the same thing as California is about to do, where they're going to draw it to only Democrats to win so we can pick up the same seats. But again, Republicans cannot drag their feet on this again. And I think it's showing because of their base. We need more politicians that are like Trump, that are going to go on the campaign trail. They're going to tell you what they're going to do and then follow him, even though I've been disappointed with Trump for this past year because he hasn't acted swiftly on things he should have.
All right, Justin, good thoughts. Got to leave it there, my friend. Thank you for calling in, and thanks for listening to the show today. 901-260-5926. Hey, during the break, I want you to go to kwamradio.com's website, kwamradio.com, kwamradio.com, and at the very top of the page, you'll see it. It is our affordable Christmas campaign. We are kicking it off today, and we're really excited about this wonderful opportunity to help kids that are from, you know, very less fortunate financial situations. And one of the things we're doing is raising money to purchase brand new toys, and then their moms and dads will be able to purchase these toys at a fraction of the cost, still giving mom and dad the opportunity to purchase something for their children. If you would like to make a donation, and today, Landers Nissan, which is an incredible car dealership, Landers Nissan, they're offering to match every single gift today up to $7,500. And we would love it if you would lend us a helping hand. You can give online at kwamradio.com. Or today, if you're in the North Mississippi area, you can drive over to Nissan, Landers Nissan, and you can make a donation in person. Also, you'll have a chance to win a $250 gift certificate to Mesquite Chop House. That donated by a good friend of this radio program. His name is Jim LaSapio, and he is the owner of many, many restaurants around the Mid-South and just a great American patriot. All right, we got to take a break. We'll be right back. Dylan, I have a question for you. Do you like Hooters?
Wow, what a question.
The restaurant chain.
I haven't been in a minute.
Right. You know, back, so do you remember how old you were-ish when you you went to the Hooters for the first time?
Probably 10. Don't tell my parents that I'm telling you this.
Oh, my God.
It wasn't like one of those like trips, but it was just like I went into Hooters and I ate their food.
Okay. Well, they got good wings.
Yeah.
I hear that the chicken breast sandwich
there
is pretty
is.
Good, too.
There okay. it is.
Anyway.
Delicious.
Hooters has fallen on hard times, though, and the original owners bought back Hooters. And one of the problems, people were really, the outfits were getting a bit risque, and they were basically making the waitresses wear what was, in essence, a thong as the bottom, as opposed to shorts. So anyway, the old owners decided to pool their money, and they bought back Hooters, and they're now in the effort of re-Hooterization. This is the actual term, re-Hooterization. And they're returning the girls back to the original uniforms, which is basically shorts and the T-shirts. And they feel like that's going to, you know, make it more family-friendly. And who doesn't love family-friendly Hooters? I mean, God bless America. So anyway, we'll see how that turns out. $700 million in sales, so not bad at all. And they're heading in the right direction. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. This is the Todd Stern Show. There was a survey that was conducted a little earlier this year, in March, actually, and they talked to young people under the age of 30. This was conducted by the Cato Institute and YouGov. And it was a very simple question about socialism and what they thought about it. I'm just going to say this. I don't think any kid in America knows the definition of the isms, whether it be socialism or communism. But when they see that they're not able to do things their age that their parents were able to do at that age, these kids are getting very frustrated. And a lot of them are working their butts off. Some of them work in two jobs, and they still can't afford the down payment for a house. They can't afford to move out of their parents' home in many cases, and it's really frustrating for these kids. Then they see somebody coming along who's actually talking to them about those very issues. And that was one of the big problems in this mayor's race in New York City, for example. You had Curtis Sliwa promising to take care of pussycats, and then you had Andrew Cuomo, who was hanging out there, you know, in the Hamptons with all the rich and famous people. And then you had Zohran Mamdani, who communicated a message to these very disenfranchised voters, and he connected with them. Now, the fact of the matter is he's not going to be able to deliver on any of these promises at all, but that's not the point. The point is that he was listening to them, and he was connecting with them. And I'm not throwing shade here. I'm just talking about the optics of it all. So when you've got an economy where people are hurting. Farmers are dealing with big problems right now, and you've got the White House saying, we're going to reach out and we're going to save the Argentinian farmers, the cattle farmers. When you see the White House announcing that they're building the big, beautiful ballroom, and I'm all for that. When you see the lavish Halloween Great Gatsby party at Mar-a-Lago leading up to this election cycle, you throw in the assassination of Charlie Kirk, and I think you have a frustrated and somewhat demoralized voter base right now. And I think it's all going to get better. And again, I've got no problem with any of the buildings of the ballrooms or the parties at Mar-a-Lago. But it's the optics of it all, especially when young people are suffering, and they are. We're going to talk more about this tonight on Newsmax. But anyway, going back to the survey that was conducted in March by Cato and YouGov, They found 62% of American adults under the age of 30 say they hold a favorable view of socialism. 62%. Now, I want you to understand something here. Your country's about to change, ladies and gentlemen, because that number is not going down. And the reason why it's not going down is that the public education system here, and I would dare say many private schools too, they're teaching the kids that there's something wrong with capitalism and that the solution is socialism or communism. Now, when people were asked, do you have a favorable or unfavorable view of communism? Well, 66% said that they find that to be unfavorable. But these kids, they don't know what these words mean. And all they see are free things. That, you know what, Zohran Mamdani, he's going to make sure that I'm not having to pay more for rent in my New York City, you know, apartment. Or, you know what, Zohran Mamdani is going to make sure I'm going to be able to go to the doctor. I won't have to pay anything. You know, they don't understand that that there's nothing free. Somebody has to pay for that stuff. They don't get that. Now, the Cato Institute says the poll did not define socialism, leaving it up to the respondents to determine what the term meant. He noted that regardless of which of the many definitions of socialism the respondents may have had in mind, all forms of socialism share a disdain for capitalism. Now, this is interesting because, as Campus Reform points out, support for socialism and communism among 18 to 29-year-olds exceeds that of the general population and past polls of young people. 2019, 52% of those surveyed held a positive view of socialism. In 2020, the Victims of Communism Memorial Foundation commissioned a poll by YouGov. They found 49% of Gen Z held a favorable opinion of the term socialism. So what you're watching here is a growing number of American young people that are willing to embrace something called socialism. And I don't think that moms and dads are having those kinds of conversations around their dinner table. I just don't think that that's happening. I think they're learning all of this in their public school classrooms. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Curious to get your thoughts on that. I want to play some audio here. This is Scott Jennings from last night weighing in on Mamdani. Cut number four, please.
Scott?
Oh, are you saying he wasn't the unifying voice of a generation that you predicted mere moments ago?
Axe,
where was the man that you predicted would not slice and dice the other? Look, guys, he started his speech by quoting Eugene Debs, who ran for president of the United States 5 times as the Socialist Party of America candidate. He repeatedly attacked people in
Google
this. No, I know my socialists. I keep a close eye on them.
Yeah, I,
you know, I work
close
here.
Eye.
So here's the thing. He went after everybody that he thinks is a problem. People who own things, people who have businesses. He said an interesting quote: "No problem too large for government to solve."
Or too small, important.
And so when you think of the world that way, that every problem, no matter how small or how large, is something for government to do, let me just decipher this for you. Tax increases as far as the eye can see, which means the people who need to provide jobs to the young people that you say need jobs are going to flee as quickly as they possibly can. I think this was a divisive speech, and he clearly sees the world in terms of the people who are oppressing you and the oppressed. And he said the oppressed are now in City Hall.
Yeah, they sure are. As a matter of fact, here's that quote from Eugene Debs, who was the founder of the Socialist Party of America. Cut two.
The sun may have set over our city this evening, but as Eugene Debs once said, I can see the dawn of a better day for humanity.
Wow. All right. Now, here is some audio. This is from Zohran Mamdani when he was in his 20s. We don't know how old he was. 5 years ago, so his late 20s. And he explains in this video, very well produced, what exactly socialism is. Take a listen.
Socialism. Terrifying words. A lot of people are afraid of the word socialism, and a lot of people have misconceptions about what it means. I'm a democratic socialist, and what socialism means to me is a commitment to dignity, a state that provides whatever is necessary for its people to live a dignified life. So the typical big three that we talk about are housing, healthcare, education. But frankly, if you look around in the moment of this pandemic, we see how many more things are necessary to live with a dignified life. We need our internet because we have all of our kids staying at home doing remote learning. And if you don't have internet, you can't be taught, you can't learn. Whether it's childcare, whether it's public transportation, whether it's our utilities, whether it's our housing, whether it's our healthcare, these are not things that should be up for debate. Because we see what happens when we let the market be the sole determinant of the distribution of dignity. It picks and chooses people who can survive and people who can thrive. It is up to us here across New York to make it very clear that every single one of us deserves a shot, that an injury to one is an injury to all, that our future is built on the notion of solidarity.
Well, that's a little taste of what Zoran Mamdani thinks of. You know, isn't it nice how you put a cool little funky music track, and like, oh, wow, socialism's cool. I'm not scared of socialism anymore. Woo-hoo! Just here, take over my business, government. Here you go. Here are the keys, Uncle Sam. But when you actually break it out, first of all, socialism's never worked at all. It just never has. And ultimately, the government, and in this case, it'll be New York City. The New York City government will own or control all the means of production there in the Big Apple. And you watch how quickly things are going to start to unravel. If you want to go and check out a Broadway show, you might want to do that before January 1 when Zoran Mamdani puts his hand on the, oh, what is he going to put his hand on? Could it be the Quran? Will the next mayor of New York City be sworn into office with a copy of the Quran? That is a legitimate question, ladies and gentlemen. I just thought about that as I was, whoops. And again, you know, Robin Poppin in the early part of the show, and Robin is really fired up about this. She was there on 9/11, and if you know your history about 9/11, she was the very first national news reporter to go on the air. It was with ABC, or I believe it was ABC News, and she's the one who announced that the planes had flown into the buildings because she was there in Lower Manhattan. And she was an eyewitness to all of that terror. So she takes this very, very personally. And again, among many, many New Yorkers and many Americans who lived through all of that, to know that Zoran Mamdani, a man who has been photographed, smiling, grinning ear to ear with unindicted co-conspirators of the 1993 bombing of the World Trade Center, and to know that that man is going to be there in Lower Manhattan on 9/11, the 25th anniversary of 9/11. Wow. It's enough to get folks riled up. It really is. Okay, 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. You know, you got a lot of choices when it comes to cell phone service. A lot. But I got to tell you, I'm a big fan of Patriot Mobile because they boldly stand in the gap for every American. They believe freedom is worth fighting for. And man, do they have a great cell phone. It really is amazing. And the good news is that you can switch to Patriot Mobile today without sacrificing quality or service. And if you're worried about coverage, don't be, because Patriot Mobile uses all three major U.S. networks. So if you have service in the country today, you're going to have good or better service with Patriot Mobile. And switching is so easy. You get to keep your number. You get to keep your phone. You can even upgrade. And their customer service team is 100% U.S.-based. No H-1B visas, folks. As a matter of fact, the best part about it, they speak English. You're going to be able to understand them. And they're going to get you activated in just minutes. And if you're stuck in a contract where you owe money on your phone, no worries. Patriot Mobile has a contract buyout program. So here's how it works. Go to patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd. You can also call them 972-PATRIOT. You're going to be speaking to an American who speaks English. That's 972-PATRIOT. Use my promo code Todd, T-O-D-D. You're going to get a free month of service. Again, patriotmobile.com/Todd. Call 972-PATRIOT. Use the promo code Todd, and you're going to get a free month of service. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. Steve in Little Rock, Arkansas. Hi, Steve. What's going on?
Hey, Todd. It's been a while since I called, but I've been listening.
Well, thank you.
All this talk about socialism and everything, I think you know I've called enough that I'm a right conservative. I'm so far right and so conservative, I consider Donald Trump too liberal.
Wow.
But with all that said, what do you think about the idea that so much of the leadership of this world getting behind socialism and the strength that socialism is building in communism? When people look out there at what the job situation is going to be with the way technology is going, the way AI is going, the way all this stuff is taking jobs away, what other choice are we going to have?
You know, it's interesting.
I don't hear enough talk about what type of jobs and what type of civil responsibilities and stuff people are going to have to do when AI. I mean, this stuff, in my lifetime, I see all the jobs that have gone away, and it's just now getting on the low.
So, Steve, do you remember Joe Biden back in 2019 on the campaign trail? And he was in coal country, and he told the coal miners, you know, basically he was going to be shutting down their industry. And he told the coal miners to learn code. Do you remember when he did that?
I remember exactly.
Well, it turns out they're going to have to learn something else because, to your point, AI is already erasing many entry-level coding jobs. So, I mean, to your point, you know, AI is taking over a lot of stuff, including, believe it or not, some radio stations actually employ AI to do things like newscast and DJs, the whole nine yards.
Mm-hmm. They aren't far away from, instead of paying you to air your talk show, they just buy an AI software, a talk show software, and they plug it in.
All right, those are fighting words. Fighting words, Steve.
I'm just pointing out that's coming for almost everybody.
Yeah.
Technology started out just taking the repetitive, simple labor jobs, but it's going way past that. And I would love to hear more talk from our leaders about what is civilization going to look like 25, 50 years from now. What will be considered a good paying job? What are those jobs going to be?
Steve, you've given us something to think about, my friend, and it is good hearing from you. I was driving through your town the other day on my way to Branson, by the way.
Yep. It's I live north of the Little Rock area, and you may have come real close to my house.
Well, may have. I got to tell you, though, those speed traps down through some of those towns, my goodness.
Well, times are getting hard. That's part of their budget.
That's no doubt about it. All right, Steve, you take care of yourself. Good hearing from you. Wow. You know, Dylan, I was fiddling around with the ChatGPT thing, you know, and yes. I thought, oh, I wonder what a Todd Stearns column would look like.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to insert words like slobberknocker and badonkadonk, and the thing just like it froze.
Right. Yeah, it's not used to your language.
I had to restart my computer. I don't think they're going to be able to.
They can't replicate you, Todd.
I'm
impossible.
No. I'm special.
I don't think it knows what Jizaloo is.
Jizaloo, yeah. It's like, woo, kaboom.
Yep.
It is what it is. I think America can only handle one Todd Stearns.
Yep.
But I was kind of getting nervous here. Steve had me getting worried. I don't want an AI version of Todd Stearns out there.
Right. How much is AI Todd going to get paid?
That's a good question. But can AI Todd do a show and eat Dr. Pepper flavored jelly beans?
Probably not.
No, I don't think so.
Not as good as you.
No. You know, I love Dr. Pepper. Not sure I'm loving the Dr. Pepper jelly beans.
It's like fake Dr. Pepper?
Yeah, I feel like I have like a pound of sugar in my mouth right now.
It's because you do.
Probably so. All right, we got to leave it there, folks. Tomorrow, that's right, we will have a fill-in host. I'm on the road to Orlando. I'll be phoning in during the show, though, so we'll have a great time. You'll have a great time without me. Tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern, be sure to watch The Todd Stern Show on Newsmax. And as always, check out toddsterns.com. Be good, America.